Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor, the communication doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do. Hello, this is Real Stories, and I'm your host, Tally the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have Peter Griffiths and Mira Zulich. And I'm so excited today because it's the first time on Real Stories that I'm interviewing two people at the same time. And they both run an amazing company called The Mind Takeaway. So, hello.
Hi, Tanya. It's great to be here. Thank you for having us as guests.
Oh, it's so exciting. It's so exciting. So I'm going to throw the questions out to both of you, and I'm going to dig deep for both of your story in terms of your story behind The Mind Takeaway and your story behind your journey and so forth. But before I go, I'm going to ask you a question going back to your childhood. You can both ask this individually, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. I want you to tell me, just for a moment, let's give it about 2 or 3 minutes. I'll start with Mira, because ladies first. Okay. And I want you to tell me of a moment in your childhood that was just magical.
Moment in my childhood. Oh, okay. A cold winter day. At my grandma's in Croatia in a mountain, and it was full of snow. We went training a dog to walk around the forest, my dad and I, and we came back almost frozen. And I remember somebody taking off my shoes because I couldn't do that myself, and warming my feet next to the old oven. It's just an amazing picture that I have in my mind of white, sun, cold, and then warm, and people around. That would be the moment.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I just wanted to get a picture of you both, which is why I'm asking the question. And what about you, Pete? What about you, Peter?
Wow. Okay. Many things just flashed through my mind. I think a really nice memory is myself and my younger brother. We're very lucky that although we grew up by quite a big city, the place we grew up is called the Wirral. It's got some amazing scenery and countryside. And I was very lucky that my father used to, in his spare time when he wasn't working, because he was actually always working a lot, but he actually, you know, his way of really giving back to us as children was to actually give us the gift of time, and used to take us quite a lot over the weekends just to the coast, because we grew up in the Northwest and there's amazing coastline and scenery, like I say. So I can just picture both of us just running along the coast and playing on the beach. And we did that quite often, most weekends, where obviously the weather was good enough to do it. So, yeah.
You know what's really interesting? In both of your experiences, there's already a connection there, and you've both mentioned the beach in some way, you know, or that connection with the ocean. Would you say that connects you both?
Yeah, I think it's that love of nature and human connection, and I think so.
You know what sprang to mind as well? I think for both of us at the moment, because we live in quite a big city in Berlin, although it's, you know, it's amazing, we love living here, we both for some reason of late, keep talking about being in the woods and the forest by the coast. And I think we just missed that. And I guess when people ask us a question, we're pointed back to maybe a time when...
when that was real, yeah.
No, Max, that's just really interesting. I thought, because I've got you both here, it's a nice way to kind of start the show because you both run this company and it's nice to kind of have a window into your world as to, before you knew each other, what kind of connects you, because I do really believe in serendipity when people come together. Now, moving on in terms of coming back to this business, the mind takeaway, how did you set this up? How did you get this going?
I think I'll let you go first on this one. Yeah.
So I started doing workshops in Berlin, and then I already knew that I'm going to leave. I took a role to set up the rehab center in Dubai. And because I knew I was going to leave, I wanted to still keep on doing it. So I formed this Facebook group and few people came in, and then it was called Happiness and Healing or something like that. And the group grew, and Peter started being more interested in coaching as well, and we went on the same course, and then I don't know, we decided that Peter joins the group, and then out of, you know, what we're gonna do with that, what are we doing, has changed. Name came up in just messaging each other. What do you think about this? Oh, mind takeaway, taking off someone's mind. And, you know, it was, oh, that sounds cool. And then Peter came with the idea of actually starting a company because, I don't know, that was even a few years ago where we didn't even think about working together. I remember him saying, you know what, I see us having a company together. And then we both laughed thinking, you know, what could we actually do together? And then it happened a few years afterwards without even, I don't think he even remembered it.
Yeah, and I think it was initially we were like two little nervous kids because we were like, oh, we're in a relationship together. You know, can we really run a company together? You know, because there might not be any separation between, you know, work life and, you know, the downtime and stuff like that. But actually it's been pretty amazing because I guess when you're really passionate about what you do, that sometimes there might not be a line between the two, right?
Oh yeah.
And you know, there are days when we do maybe take too much on, or our week looks a bit fuller than it should be, but it's been such an amazing journey. And to be fair, we didn't really have much on it in terms of it being a company, right? We just facilitated a group together and we had so much fun doing it. It kind of just grew from there, I guess.
Yeah, it grew naturally, yeah.
So what did you both learn about yourself as you started to work together in regards to this? I mean, just having a bit of an insight in terms of behind the scenes. What did you learn about yourself? What was a challenging time in terms of you doing this? What was challenging about working?
Oh yeah, there was many challenges, of course. And the fact that we're still together, which is a plus, right? But you know, sometimes it is challenges. So one thing that springs to mind, and Mira, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, is how we communicate. I think our relationship has become stronger because when you work together and, you know, your co-founders, your directors of a company, you have to really get the communication piece right.
Yes.
And there's times when we both, maybe me more so than you, Mira, got frustrated because what I had in my head or what I conceptualized as what we were going to do in that week, in that month, and then Mira had maybe a different idea. But then when we met in the middle, I realized that my communication was off, the way that I had explained what we should do or even asked whether Mira was up for that. So there was many situations like that where we had to recalibrate ourselves. And again, being coaches, it's easier said than done. You know, we're very good when it comes to our clients, you know, in terms of how we communicate with them. But it was a little bit off, I guess, when we initially started trying to work together, right?
Yeah, I think you have this expectation over the, or the idea of, you know, how things should be, but then reality is a little bit different. And then for me it was letting go of my idea of what should happen, and and so to say, control in a way.
Yeah.
So that was, and it kind of, I don't know, it's really interesting. It seems like having a business together was bringing lots of challenges, but at the same time, those challenges helped us to strengthen our relationship, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. And as you said, interestingly enough, you said it was about letting go of control. And I think that's really just even as human beings, because when you decide to work for yourself, I suppose it's about taking control. It's the opposite, isn't it? Because if you've worked for a company, you've had all these rules and these protocols, but when you're working for yourself, there may be certain rules, but you're taking control and stepping into that kind of power of control. But when you're working with your partner, it's probably about balancing that control and respecting each other, and as you said, communicating. So yeah, there's lots of skills there, and which leads me to my next question. When, as you were both talking about your experiences and you both being coaches, and I suppose you both have come from different places in terms of your own journeys to being a coach, I'd like to hear a little bit about that in terms of asking both you, Mira, and Peter, but individually, why did you become a coach? What was going on in your life that made you make the decision to become a coach?
You want me to go first?
I don't mind.
Okay. Well, it was... It's funny because for me, it was always helping people. Even I remember I was in elementary school, and it was just start of the war back home, and we were refugees. We had to leave Croatia and then ended up in Serbia. And I had to choose what high school I want to go to.
Yes.
And I remember watching this TV program about people that were injured in the war, and then rehab. It was a rehab center, and it was about students of physiotherapy who, you know, why they do what they do and all of that. And I remember thinking, I want to do this. I want to really help people with pain. And it made sense to me to study physiotherapy, and then through physiotherapy and working with people that went through lots of trauma in life, physical trauma, I ended up working with pain management, and pain management is mainly about psychology. I ended up doing clinical hypnotherapy and counseling, and through that I got interested in NLP and then coaching, and then the latest thing that I've done was a clarity coach training. So it really transitioned on its own without me really making any conscious, I mean, there were conscious decisions, obviously, but they were going one after another without me actually trying to control anything, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. And you also, as you were describing your journey and, you know, all the different practices that you do, and you mentioned that you were a refugee who left Croatia, and you mentioned that you wanted to help people with pain. And was that because of your own pain that you went through?
Possibly. I mean, I probably wasn't even aware of it. I was 13 years old.
Mm.
But it might have had something to do with that.
We'll come back to that
later.
Yeah, I'll come back to that in a minute, because I found that really interesting, because I didn't know, obviously, which is what lovely about these interviews, because I'm learning about you and discovering why you do what you do. But it is interesting to hear a little bit more about your story with regards to your pain and what you went through as to why you do what you do. Peter, why did you become a coach?
Yeah, I love this question, because we reflect on this quite a lot, don't we? Yeah. And I always forget that as a people manager and all the roles I did, and as a musician and a DJ, all of this stuff, even when I was in bands back then, when I was a lot younger, I was this kind of go-to person who was always trying to be the father figure, which, to be fair, at the time, I didn't really have the tooling or understand my own psychology enough to be able to really help the way I wanted to. But then I realized as a people manager that coaching is a real, you know, it's a big part of being a leader. And what makes a good leader is being able to coach people in the right way. And that, and I think that, I don't know, I didn't really see coaching, or I didn't really see myself as a coach back then. And actually, you reminded me quite often, you know, over the years, you know, you actually seem to gravitate towards that. It seems to light you up. And I didn't realize that myself until other people externally were saying, maybe coaching might be a good, you know, avenue for you. And then I realized that I'd actually been doing it pretty much most of my adult life. Like I say, whether I was a musician or whether I was a people manager, you know, working for a corporate. And I think it just went from there. And then I studied meditation. I looked at different modalities, similar to Mira, but not so deep in terms of, I didn't go the hypnotherapy route or become a counselor. But I realized that I'd had, you know, very good world-class training in terms of corporate leadership and stuff like this. So I guess that's where I cut my teeth. And then similar to Mira, we both looked at a particular way of coaching, which was subtractive psychology. And we both did clarity coach training a couple of years back. And then I did a mentorship piece through that as well. And we've never looked back, really. And I'm really grateful that I did actually look inside myself to, you know, to say, right, is there something I could really do? And it's not even a choice thing, if that makes sense. It's just one of these things we get a buzz off, and we're really lucky, and I'm really grateful that we could actually, you know, pursue this as a proper career now.
It's really interesting, because as I'm listening to you both, I'm trying to listen from an internal space, and there were two things that came out to me just listening to why you both become a coach. And I think I touched on it a little bit with Mira in terms of maybe some of the pain or maybe your own personal pain. Mm-hmm. And you said something, Peter, about being the go-to person, and you used the word father figure. And I found that quite interesting. And I think there's probably something in that with, from regards to what we go through, why you become a coach, why you do the coaching. And interestingly enough, it would be interesting why you saw yourself as a father figure in terms of the go-to person, and why did you take on that role subconsciously? Could you answer that question?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, yeah, the more I talk about this or other people ask me in interviews about it, I'm always like, well, yeah, why is that? Why did it make sense at that point in time to be the person that people could turn to?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not sure how it first started, because we were speaking to my mother quite recently, and she reminded me that even as a child, I was very headstrong and I would always try and do the right thing somehow. But I didn't even pick up any of this. I hadn't even remembered any of these stories. My mom told me a few stories about how I always stood up to the bullies, or I always had something to say when people were not willing to, you know, do the right thing. And I didn't really ever see that as something I did back then. So there must have been some kind of, you know, it was underpinning everything I did. And again, it wasn't a conscious decision. I didn't think, so for example, when I was in a band and things weren't going really well, I just, you know, started to help people. And they just felt comfortable, I guess, because of how I was, to come to me and, you know, spill the guts and tell me that they were struggling or whatever it was. Yeah, and even my ex-studio partner, I'm not going to say his name now, but yeah, he reminded me, you know, a few years back that he really appreciated the fact that I was there and I was pretty strong enough, you know, to be able to be a kind of soundboard for him and just have his back and discuss stuff that were, you know, the challenges that were happening at the time. But how that came about and why it made sense, I'm not sure, really.
No, that's
something
really
I'm still exploring myself.
No, it's lovely. I mean, some people, I just thought I'd ask a question or start that mind to trigger and think about it in terms of why we do what you do, why you're a coach, why it's so important to you to help people in that way. And I think it's absolutely beautiful what both of you are doing. And as I'm listening, as I said, I'm listening from that internal place. For me, there's a lot there in terms of you both sound like you're both working really well together, and there's a nice energy between the two of you. But you did also mention something about subtractive psychology, and you both working in that way together. And I wanted to kind of understand how that works in terms of you both coaching, you know, how it kind of works when you both on the day to day, how you both work together in that way with a client. How's that kind of working? Just to give us a little bit of an idea.
Okay, let me go. It's you know, I'm looking at your name. It says communication doctor. It's really deeply listening to people and then asking questions that are helping them uncover what is holding them back and helping them see for themselves, have insights. And that brings about the change rather than, I mean, what's different is, you know, giving them lots of things to do in order to change and mm-hmm. things to do every day that they, you know, just taking away rather than adding more to, you know, letting go in a way that would be letting go, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I think
it does make sense. Sorry, just to cut in there. It does make sense when you say taking away, letting go, because I suppose in the Western world, we're normally overwhelmed because we're doing way too much. And a lot of people don't feel they have to do so much. So that's interesting that you said that. It's about letting go and taking away. Sorry, Peter, what were you about to say?
No, sorry, it was okay. Yeah, I guess we're just clearing a space. When we say subtractive, it's clearing that headspace and really creating the right conditions so there's insight friendly space there. So what we mean by that is it just allows someone to have clarity or mental clarity to be able to have their own insights and have a download of fresh thinking that would otherwise not come if they cluttered up their mind with, you know, many things to do. Because we, you know, there's many books out there, and again, I'm not saying they're wrong, but you know, there's 7 steps to happiness and this, that, and the other. We're just trying to make it as simple as possible. To create a space where people have their own insights and they connect to their own resilience and well-being and creativity in order to find the solution for themselves. Because I think a good coach, or as this is what we've experienced, just allows, as Mira said, we just listen quite deeply and we always know that the other person, the client, the person we're trying to help, has the capacity to resolve all of the challenges that they face. And we're just creating the right conditions for them to experience that, I guess.
I love that. You know what I take, there's a word that you said there which kind of sprung as a massive light to me, which was fresh thinking. You're just creating fresh thinking. I think that's lovely, I love that. And that whole idea, because the whole idea of being fresh and something, you know, that something that's pure, something that's organic, something, you know, because the mind is so cluttered, isn't it? And when you give it clarity, it is like a fresh feeling. You feel fresh. You feel nice. Like, you know, like when you've just, first thing in the morning, you get up in the morning, you have a shower, you wash your face, you feel fresh afterwards, you know, fresh thinking. I like that. I like that kind of tool. And I'm getting that as I'm speaking to you, it does feel fresh. It's brilliant. I love it. I love it. I love it. Just moving the thing. Both of you, as you're working together and you're moving forward now, who, I'll just have an insight into both of you, who are your main kind of influences?
Wow, that's an interesting one. Many, many influences. Because I guess, you know, as you go on through your life, you look in different areas for, you know, solutions. And for us, there's one saying, I don't know who said it, everyone's always looking for home, right?
Yeah.
And I guess that's what you're doing. You're trying to find that space where things are, like we said, insight friendly. It feels nice. You feel nourished and your batteries are recharged. And I guess we're gravitating towards people like that these days.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, there's a guy called Sid Banks. And I guess the understanding that we're pointing to or alluding to, I believe this guy is pretty much the guy that started it through a massive insight that he had and some realizations, game-changing realizations. So this guy was a Scottish welder. And you could say that he wasn't really that well-educated, come from a humble beginning. And he just had this massive download from, and he just upgraded his consciousness and then felt compelled to share this understanding with the world. And it's exactly what we were pointing to before, that all of the answers that we have are inside of us. And all you have to do is experience your own thinking and feelings and just be okay that, for example, we all try and stop the horrible things or the uncomfortable feelings, but all we're pointing to is the fact that it's going to be like a waveform, a roller coaster. You know, sometimes you're not going to feel great, but it's actually okay. And you don't have to do anything with those thoughts and feelings. And the very fact of just leaving it alone actually allows it to pass. I guess just like clouds, you know, overhead, that we forget that there's sunshine always there. There's blue sky, and it doesn't matter how dark the clouds are or the sky gets, right? Anyone else?
I don't know. I'm thinking, like, I'm listening to, I'm thinking at the same time. Yeah. It seems to be different people at different points of my life. The first one I would say was my father, that was very intuitive person. And then I don't know, Phil and Layla, they were my first mentors.
Actually, yeah, I mean, I could even say Phil, more for you, because they were very, very much mentor figures to you, right?
Yeah.
And then me later on, I was really lucky to study NLP with Phil. And I found him to be an amazing, like, world-class trainer, facilitator. And even to this day, very grounded individual. And it's what I love about people like that is we don't have to agree, you know, and it's not about what you know, etc. But it's just, again, it's these people are just comfortable in their own skin, and they can allow that space so you can actually explore. You know, it's exploration, I guess, right?
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, people that lead and live their life authentically is usually somebody that I gravitate towards. Yeah.
No, it is. I think it's all, it sounds to me like it is all about, you know, connections. And it sounds like the way that you both coach, like you've got this idea of, like, this, going back to that, what you said, fresh thinking and allowing people the space so they can open up and kind of find themselves, so to speak. And I think that's absolutely beautiful. And just talking to you, I'm getting a nice feel for what you do as well, in terms of allowing each other. And that's why I asked you kind of questions in the beginning about your childhood, to kind of see, like, where you're coming from, what your journey's been about to come to this place that you now are supporting other people moving forward to elevate. But I'm getting the elevation comes from a mindful space. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I guess the more you explore that, the better things get.
Yes.
And it's a journey that's never ending, but not in a bad way, because initially when I looked into some of these areas, when I was looking at meditation and stuff, I was always trying to, like a video game, get to, you know, the highest level, you know, so I'm more relaxed and I can meditate deeper than someone else, like it's a competition, but that's the complete opposite. What we found, and it's humbling in a way as well, because the more we study, the more we realize we don't know, in a good way. And actually, when we work with our clients, what, again, linking back to a segue into why we got into coaching, is because just exploring and connecting with another human and being able to help them, it actually completes the circle. It always sorts us out as well. There's many, many, many opportunities for us when we work with our clients, whether it's on a one-on-one basis, coaching them, or group facilitation or workshops. We always get a hell of a lot back, don't we? You know, every time I'm like, oh my God, what did that person say? That's so amazing. I never thought of it like that. I've never seen it. You know, it's a deeper level of looking at that particular topic that we explored. And it's always humbling that, you know, whenever we get a bit cocky or ahead of ourselves, or we think we know better than the other person, then we get a download, you know, from our from the consciousness, and it's always like, oh, okay, now I understand, you know, even the client knows better, you know, it's fine.
No, I think that's great, because when you're coming from that mindful space, it is, when that word coaching is quite interesting, isn't it? But it is more of an exchange. I think everything's an exchange. You're working with those people and they've come to you to give you something, even though you're coaching them and you're giving them something in return. But everybody in the space is learning something as they go through that journey together. And I love that fact that you know, you're choosing to coach in that way, and you're help, you're kind of supporting another person and yourself at the same time to elevate in within that mindful space. And it's, for me, that's so beautiful, because there'll be other people that are coaches or may use that label as coach. And it can sometimes come across in a very dictatory way, or it could come across in a way where it, and I mean, I know, for example, when I got trained to do coaching, it was all about goal setting. And I don't really believe in goal setting. I believe in goal setting, I suppose, but not in the same way as it was kind of taught to me as to how I facilitate that. I look at it very differently in terms of where that person's coming from and what that person wants to learn moving forward. So it's interesting listening to you both. It's just nice to know that you can go to that space, and it's nice for other people to know that success isn't necessarily about a six-figure job and a car and all the kind of aesthetic thing. And when you come from that mindful space and you go deeper and you're looking for that sense of who you really are and what you're about, that's what it's all about. And that's what I'm kind of getting from listening to you both with regards to even your title, The Mind Takeaway. What does the mind take away? What do you take away from your mind when you really connect with your mind, is what I'm kind of hearing. Yeah. And it's just absolutely lovely. Thank you both for coming on my show today. It's been so lovely listening to you. And is there anything more that you'd like to say before I end this conversation?
No, we just really enjoyed it. And I don't know about both of you, but I feel really connected just in this conversation. And I love that you touched on, you know, what is success? And I think this is what underpins our business. You know, whether we work with leadership, you know, leaders, or we're working with individual private clients, we're always pointing them back to that, you know, what really is success? What do you really want in life? And yeah, it's great to have money, you know, and things and all of that in the world of form, but what's really going to be sustainable to you? And again, we don't give them the answers. We just point them to that. So then what happens? Usually people come with a shopping list, right, of things to fix. You help them with one thing, it kind of unfolds, and then they realize that, as you said, their goals sometimes are not so useful, because once you kind of get what you want, you realize that, that wasn't it. So all we do, we create that space to allow someone to remove something that was in their way, but then it usually ends up being, you know, I guess opening up into other aspects of their life, right? And then other things get fixed. As a happy accident of repairing one thing, it usually unfolds and repairs something else, right?
Yeah, and that's why what Peter said earlier, we don't know, and this is what the curiosity is, what guides you. And I think curiosity should guide anybody in their life, the go for exploration, because we think we know. And this is it. We only think we know. And this is something that can take us sideways. But then again, you know, that's something to learn from. So.
No, totally, totally. Yeah. And that's interesting to me. Some people, you think you know what you want until you get it. A friend of mine said to me this once, be careful what you dream for, what you want, or what you pray. No, not careful what you dream for. So she said, be careful what you pray for, she said to me, because you might actually get it. And when you get it, you might not want it. Or what it comes with. So that's what came to mind as you said that, actually. That's quite interesting sometimes. And as you're young, at different points in your life, you're wanting different things as well. And what's important to, I suppose, a 10-year-old, but saying that, it depends on what the 10-year-old's gone through as well. Yes. It's very different what's important to a 10-year-old than what's important to a 25-year-old, than what's important to 35, and all those kind of stages in life. But then also it depends on their experience, because if your life has started up very traumatically, you might just value the simple things, you know? Mm. You know, that's thing. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to end that conversation now. But again, thank you both for coming on my show. It's really lovely to have you. Really great to talk about the mind takeaway. And I wish you all the luck for your business. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This is a wonderful conversation. Thanks for having us.
No problem, no problem. And from Tanya the Communication Doctor and Real Stories, I just want to say adios.
It was really interesting talking to Peter and Mira about their company, The Mind Takeaway. And what I took away from that conversation was their ability to connect with each other as two human beings, and also being in a relationship and being able to, as they said, have that awareness of that emotional intelligence and being able to reflect on self. And as they said, they continuously have their challenges, and their challenges have made them stronger as a couple and made them stronger as also a working couple. And that ability to be able to let go of control and actually share and compromise when it comes to controlling or running a business. So I think what I got from that conversation was to value the support that you have around you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. To listen to more Real Stories, don't forget to subscribe.